Isaiah chapter 30. And now go, write it before them on a tablet and inscribe it in a book, that it may be for the time to come, as a witness forever. For they are a rebellious people, lying children, children unwilling to hear the instruction of the Lord, who say to the seers, "Do not see," and to the prophets, "Do not prophesy to us what is right. Speak to us smooth things. Prophesy illusions. Leave the way. Turn aside from the path. Let us hear no more about the Holy One of Israel." Therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, "Because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness and rely on them, therefore this iniquity shall be to you like a breach in a high wall, bulging out and about to collapse, whose breaking comes suddenly in an instant, and its breaking is like that of a potter's vessel that is smashed so ruthlessly that among its fragments not a shard is found with which to take fire from the hearth, or to dip up water out of the cistern. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved, in quietness and in trust shall be your strength. But you were unwilling, and you said, 'No, we will flee upon horses.' Therefore you shall flee away, and we will ride upon swift steeds. Therefore your pursuers shall be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the threat of one. At the threat of 5 you shall flee till you are left like a flagstaff on the top of a mountain, like a signal on a hill." This prophecy from Isaiah came at a time when the little kingdom of Judah was threatened by the mighty Assyrian Empire. From a military standpoint, it was abundantly clear that Israel could never prevail. As a result, the leaders of Judah sent a delegation to Egypt with gifts and treasure in order to form an alliance. They hoped in this way to gain security for their nation. They didn't seek protection and security from God, didn't even inquire of him whether the alliance they proposed would meet with his approval. It didn't. Through the prophet, the Lord says that their plan is futile and worthless. It will not be successful, will not bring security. Instead, it will result in misery, failure. The reading opened with a command addressed to Isaiah. He was to write down the judgment of the Lord. Then, when events proved that this alliance was a miserable and useless failure, they would know that God had told them the truth. The problem was not the might of Assyria. The real problem was the unwillingness of the Lord's people to listen to their Lord. They didn't want seers and prophets to proclaim what the Lord had revealed to them. Instead, they wanted to hear things that would be encouraging and pleasant. The nation wanted the prophets to leave the straight path and to stop talking about the Holy One of Israel. The Holy One of Israel had a response to this. Their rejection of his word and reliance instead on their own might and so-called wisdom would be the cause of their destruction. Like a structural defect in the foundation of a city wall, everything would seem fine until suddenly there would be a catastrophic failure. The judgment against them would leave nothing behind. I imagine that by now you might be thinking of COVID-19
for the angry divisions and persistent rioting that have roiled our nation this past year. Could they be a judgment from God? Well, certainly they could. Are they? I don't know. If a true prophet of the Lord were here, he could tell us. But if the Lord used disaster in the past to call people to repent and turn to him, wouldn't it be sensible for us, seeing what's happening all around us, to at least consider whether he might be calling us in our day also to sorrow and repentance? In Isaiah's day, the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, said the only answer for Judah was return, that is, repentance, and rest, that is, quiet reliance on the Lord. As Isaiah wrote, "In returning and in rest you shall be saved. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength." But the people refused to listen. They would do things their way. They would rely on their own plans. They refused to trust the Lord and depend on his faithfulness. As another prophet put it, they were sowing the wind and so would reap the whirlwind. They said, "We will flee on horses." The Lord responded, "Oh, you'll flee all right, because you're going to be chased." Indeed, because they refused to listen to the Lord and trust in him, he would withdraw from them his protective hand. A single enemy soldier would be enough to cause 1,000 to run away. Finally, they would be left deserted, like a hill with just a lone flagpole at its crest. Though the prophet is speaking of the international affairs of the nation of Israel, and that certainly has application also in our day to nations who would persist in rejecting the law God has written in the human heart, the message Isaiah proclaims is nonetheless personal and urgent for each of us today. It applies as much to each of us individually as it did to the nation of Israel in Isaiah's day. To ignore God's word, to make plans which are not in keeping with his will, is a deadly and serious mistake. His people, note carefully, not simply the heathen, but his own people, experience to their great sorrow the results of refusing to listen to what he had to say. As we hear this word of the Lord at the close of this year and the eve of the next, we do well to take to heart the Lord's call. In returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength. Romans chapter 8. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, "For your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered." No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. As he did through the prophet Isaiah, so also here through the apostle Paul, the Lord urges and calls us to trust confidently in him. The difference is that while in the first reading we were given a warning against the danger of doing things our own way, here we are given assurance that we can be confident in the Lord no matter what comes our way. After all, you have unassailable proof that God is for you. He gave his greatest treasure, his own son, to die for you. And not only that, but having risen from the dead, his son, your Savior, now intercedes for you at his Father's side. He is your advocate with the Father. It's on the basis of the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord that St. Paul believes and assures you that you too can believe that God is completely dependable. Jesus' sacrificial death for you, his victorious resurrection, and his intercession with the Father on your behalf are all evidence of God's great love for you. How important it is to remember this when tribulation and distress and persecution and danger, even pandemic, come your way. And Paul writes that such things will surely come to those who trust in the Lord. Though it's not always obvious in how this passage is cited by Christians, the point that life on earth will not always be kind to Christians is right at the center of St. Paul's argument here. That's what his quote from Psalm 44 is all about. As surely as God's prophecies of old are true, so surely will your dependence on the Lord make you a target for slaughter. That's enough to make you sit up and take notice, isn't it? It's not just that you're as susceptible to the challenges everyone faces as a part of fallen creation. St. Paul wants all of God's people to understand that many sorts of difficulties will come to them because they are the people of God. That's the way it is. But it doesn't mean that God has forgotten or abandoned or changed his mind about those who trust in him. On the basis of Jesus' death, St. Paul is convinced, and he wants you too all to believe, that none of the bad things that can happen, neither any power on earth nor any spiritual force, will be able to separate you from God's love. Whatever comes your way in life, whatever you may face in the coming year, though sorrow, need, or death be yours, you shall not be forsaken. You can be confident in God's goodwill toward you. The eternal God is your dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Those who look to him are radiant, and they shall never be ashamed.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Jesus teaches, "Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning, and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this,
that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. In this reading, we hear Jesus himself instructing his disciples, those who had believed in him. He uses an illustration of servants alert and waiting, expecting their master's imminent return from a wedding. He uses this example to encourage believers to watchful waiting for his return. This lesson is perhaps especially timely on an occasion such as this, as we note the passing of one year and the start of another. It can certainly feel as if we are in the second or the third watch of the night. Jesus has been so long in coming, so long in keeping his promise to return and usher in his eternal rule, that it's difficult to imagine that he might return still tonight or tomorrow. Nevertheless, it is just because of this, because he will come at an hour we do not expect, that Jesus urges us to readiness with the assurance that all who are waiting and ready when he comes will be blessed. For as once he came not to be served but to serve, so also when he comes again he will serve all who have been waiting his return, will guide them to springs of living water, and will wipe away every tear from their eyes. First Peter chapter 5. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith. This final reading summarizes and reinforces the three that preceded it. Humble yourself. Repent. Trust God to exalt you. You shall be saved as you quietly trust and rest in his care. Be watchful. Spiritual danger surrounds you, and physical threats abound. But do not despair when faced with them. They are part of God's good and gracious will for his people. They cannot separate you from his love. And even these he will cause to work for your eternal good. So for the rest of this evening and in the new year, trust in the Lord and live each moment in repentant faith, confident in what he has promised you in Jesus Christ.